to our broadcast today. We're glad that you tuned in, and I have some special information for you today. I hope that you'll stay tuned, and I'll give you more details at the end of the message. But I wanted to mention that we're going to be having a Bible conference here at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike out in the Rivermont area, and if you're local, listen to the radio broadcast. We would invite you to come and be part of our assembly or just at least visit with us. We would love to have you. And I know that there are people that listen to the radio on a regular basis. And we would love for you to come. And we don't ask you to join anything. We're not going to try to get you money. We would just like to meet you and have you part of our fellowship here. And so I want to extend a special invitation to you, to Grace Bible Church. And at the end of the message, I'll give you more information, but we're going to be having a Bible conference in September, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I hope that all of you that are under the sound of my voice will be able to attend. For those of you that tune in via the Internet, there's information on our website about the Bible conference. That website is understandingyourbible.com, and you can go there and get the details. The motel rooms are furnished free of charge. The meals, there's no charge for that. And so we would just love to have you come and be a part of that. We start on Friday night at 6 o'clock, and preaching starts at 7. All right, Romans chapter 16. I want to talk to you about a subject today that I was asked about recently. A person had been listening to our radio broadcast and wrote me an email and asked me about our church and how we differ from other churches. And in the course of that email exchange, he asked me the question. He said, "What has happened to the churches today that there seems to be so much emphasis on entertainment and so little emphasis on teaching the Bible?" And that's a good question. Because today, if you look at TV or even visit churches, an awful lot of them, not all of them, but an awful lot of churches, it's mostly about entertainment. They have their bands and music and lights and all this stuff to attract people. And in doing so, some have lost the focus of what the local church really is all about. The local church, I believe, is ordained by God Almighty. It was something that Paul continually taught about. Now, we at Grace Bible Church study the Bible dispensationally. And all that means is that we distinguish between the prophetic program and the mystery program committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. And in those epistles, he tells us the gospel for the church, the body of Christ, how you can get into that body, and the doctrine for that church. And it differs from the teachings of Christ. Now, we believe all the Bible is written for us, and we study the entire Bible. But only Paul's epistles are addressed to us personally as members of the body of Christ. And so, in answering that question, I want us to look at what the Bible says in relation to the importance of the local church. And this is not about just trying to get people to attend church. We don't put people under pressure to attend. We, as I've always said, we take people whenever we can get them, wherever we can get them. We would love to have people attend. It's always much more pleasing to the pastor to preach to people rather than pews. But whether you attend or not, the most important thing is that you believe the Word of God and receive the truth about salvation and then be established in the truth. The Apostle Paul said it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that is the purpose of the church, is to preach the truth of salvation, and then after people get saved, to preach the message that will establish them for the truth for this present age. because the truth in time past differs from what is truth today and what is truth for the future. Now, the whole Bible is truth. But when you read, for example, the Old Testament, there are many, many commandments given there that people do not take heed to today. Why? Because the law was not given for us, our justification. It was given that every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So I want you to notice in Romans chapter 16, in verse 3, Paul is mentioning here several people that have been a part of his ministry. He said there in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but unto all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epiphanes, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ." Now, look over, if you will, or look back into Acts chapter 18. We see there in Romans 16 that there was a church that met in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. You see, in Paul's day, there were only really two options. There was the synagogue of the Jews, and there was the temples of false gods, such as the temple of Diana. You can read about that in Acts 19. But in Acts 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles.' And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue." So we know that he met there in the house of Justice, from what we read in Romans 16, they also met there in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.' And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Now in that last verse, it really sums up the ministry of the local church. Paul was meeting with those people. He met in the house of Justice. He met in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. But he says he continued there a year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. That is the primary, should be the primary focus and the primary purpose for every local church, is teaching the word of God. Look, if you will, over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. In verse 2, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Now this is the church at Thessalonica, "remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now notice what he says about this church. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, they had done such a good job of proclaiming the gospel in the area where they were that Paul says, we have no need to speak anything. And he's commending that church for that. You see, the primary purpose of the church, as I said, is to teach the truth, and that always starts with salvation. The church, any church that teaches you or teaches a works-based salvation, you don't need to be a part of that. Say, well, it's none of your business what I'm a part of. Well, no, it may not be, but it is my business to proclaim unto you what the Word of God says. And the Bible says that we're in one body by the gospel. And that gospel is specified in Paul's epistles. It is not the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ told the 12, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, and then shall the end come. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what he preached. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And throughout the ages, man has formed one denomination after another, and the majority of those denominations, the majority of those groups, regardless of what their title is, do not teach the doctrine of eternal security. They teach that you can lose your salvation. Well, if you can lose your salvation, what Christ did on the cross is of none effect. Paul said we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Back in the early days of the church, there was this debate between those followers of Peter and the followers of Paul. And it centered around the gospel, and that's what Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 1. Those that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so if you're going to attend a church, I would recommend and highly recommend that you find a church that teaches the clarity of the gospel, adding no works to salvation. It is a free gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when you attend a church and they begin to tell you that if you don't do certain things, if you don't abstain from certain things, if you don't give your money, that you're not saved, get away from that. That is not the truth. And they have confused the gospel of the kingdom with the gospel of the grace of God. They've confused the prophetic program with the truth of the gospel of grace. The gospel today is how that Christ died for our sins. And he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel that saves. So the first purpose of the local church is to preach the gospel of the grace of God in all clarity, in simplicity, adding nothing to it. Here at Grace Bible Church, we don't give an invitation at the end of the message. The invitation is to you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We don't practice water baptism. Why? Because the Bible says by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We don't partake of many of the religious rites and practices. Why? Because Paul said that those things are simply a demonstration of the flesh. He said men glory in the flesh of other men. So salvation is simple. It's clear that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You receive that free gift and you're saved. Not only that, as I mentioned a moment ago, Paul said, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The second reason for the church is that the saints be edified. Look in Colossians chapter 2. People need to be instructed out of the Word of God. Not books, not quarterlies, not man's opinion, but the Word of God. Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, he said chapter 2, verse 1, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement, notice, of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, notice what Paul's concern was, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now notice his warning. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Folks, do you know that most of the physical practices that are practiced in churches today are based on tradition? Things that their forefathers did, things that have been passed down over the years, and there's no scriptural basis for most of it. Paul said, don't let any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Why? For in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now notice verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see, being complete in Him means that there's nothing you can add to your salvation. Now, obviously, God desires for us to come to the knowledge of the truth and allow that truth to be demonstrated in our life. But that has nothing to do with our salvation, nor our blessings. In Ephesians 1, Paul said, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Most of the religious world today is going to teach you that if you give your money, God will bless you. If you're faithful to the church, God will bless you. And on it goes. Well, the blessings of God are not based upon your physical performance. They're based upon who you are in Christ. And being a member of the body of Christ guarantees you all the blessings of salvation that God has to offer. And it is not by works. So the church is a place where saints are to be edified and built up. Not only that, look in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians 1, we see another purpose of the local church. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The local church is a place where the saints are not only to be edified and built up, but there's to be care one for another. When people are hurting, when people are in need, when people are upset, when people are rejoicing, whatever the situation is, Paul said, rejoice with them who do rejoice. mourn with those that mourn. The church ought to be a place of, it's a place that people can find comfort through the other people there and by the Word of God. The comfort that we have. And you know, that's a lost art in many areas. You never know how a phone call, a spoken word, can bring comfort to somebody that's in need. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to always keep in the forefront the need for loving one another and reaching out to other people and comforting one another. It's not always easy, but it's always needful. Then the fourth thing I want you to notice is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, when we read about Timothy, we find that Timothy was a young pastor. He had been at the church at Corinth at one time, other places, and as Paul is facing death in prison, Paul writes this last epistle. This is the last epistle Paul ever wrote. And he writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me." Now, folks, that is significant. Because Timothy had contact with the 12, with Peter, James, and John. But Paul is admonishing him to remember the things that he had heard from Paul. Why? Because Paul said, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office." He talks about the gospel and he calls it my gospel. He said that the mystery was committed unto him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And so Paul admonishes Timothy to teach the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, when a pastor or a teacher teaches people without rightly dividing the word of truth, most of the time, it simply leads to confusion. And I always think about that in the realm of prayer. How many preachers today preach a doctrine that's based upon "ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you"? Those were promises made to the disciples. Now, I believe, as Vince was covering this morning, that we ought to pray. We ought to make our requests known to God. But we also need to understand that we do not have the promises that God made to the children of Israel when it comes to prayer. We know that because the Apostle Paul prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, would be removed from him. And God did not remove it. Instead, what God told Paul was, "My grace is sufficient." Jesus taught the 12, "Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on." Paul said, "If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat." So if you just simply take your Bible and you read through the New Testament, just read straight through it, and you believe the words on the page mean what they say, you are going to see that there is a difference in the teachings of Jesus Christ to the Jews and the teachings of the Apostle Paul to the church, the body of Christ. You will also see that the church did not replace Israel. You will also see that the church is not Israel. We're the body of Christ. And when you get over to Hebrews chapter 8, you will see that the covenant that God made with Israel back in Jeremiah 31 will be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those things are evident. And to deny those truths is to deny the truth of the Word of God. Those are important things. That's why Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me. A church should be teaching people the doctrine that is for them today rather than the doctrine that was for the nation Israel. And when they fail to do so, it ends up in confusion. So what do? They substitute truth with entertainment. Truth with sports facilities. Truth with physical signs, healings, laying on of hands, and worshiping of angels, all those kind of things. And then the last thing I want you to notice. The local church should be a place where the truth is defended. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. You see, sometimes we're accused of having the attitude that we're the only ones that are right. Well, it's not a matter of whether I'm right or another preacher's right. It's whether we believe the Bible. We believe it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. Paul, in writing to Titus, he said that in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." In verse 9, he says, "Holding fast," getting a hold of, hold on to it, "holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." The gainsayers were those that were preaching what they were preaching for self-gratification and self-gain. That's what Paul is warning about. And he says that we, our ministry, is to hold fast the faithful word. Why? Because it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what a local church is about. That sums it up in few words, really. But the fact is that in the majority of churches today, you will not find a clear presentation of the gospel. You will not find them teaching the doctrine that Paul taught. Oh, they may go and take some verses out of there, but they will not acknowledge Paul's position as the apostle of the Gentiles and acknowledge the dispensational truth of the Word of God. Why? Because when you take a stand for the truth, you're not going to have a mega church. You're not going to have a church with thousands or even hundreds of people in most cases. Someone asked recently, why are most grace churches so small? Because most people would rather be entertained than listen to the truth of the Word of God, which shows us what we are and who we are. I thank you for tuning in today. I hope that the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or at least somewhat enlightening. We're very thankful for the opportunity to come to you by radio and the internet. And I wanted to mention to you, I mentioned to begin the broadcast, I would give you details about our upcoming Bible conference. Number one, our church is Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We meet twice on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We have an informal Bible study with coffee and donuts, and different men in the church assist with the teaching ministry there. And then at 11 o'clock, we have more of a traditional type worship service, and then a period of Bible study like you're hearing today. In September 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're going to be having a Bible conference, and there will be speakers here from literally all over the country, as far as Texas, Wisconsin, Florida, different places. And we'll start on Friday night at 6 o'clock. We'll have supper here at the Fellowship Hall, and then we'll meet at 7 o'clock for our evening service. on Saturday morning. We'll begin at 9 o'clock and go till about noon, and then we'll serve lunch here at the church. We'll meet back on Saturday night, and we're going to have a couple of preachers, and then we're going to have a time of music with Brother Larry Tidwell, doing about a 30-minute concert at the end of the services. And then Sunday morning, we provide breakfast Saturday and Sunday morning, and then we'll conclude our services around noon on Sunday. If you need more information, you can either go to our website, which is understandingyourbible.com, or you can call me, Pastor Steve Atwood, at 423-847-0768. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.